Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Quinn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby here in Sacramento with the team. Boys back in the studio. We have a little Daily Gambit coming your way here shortly. We got a national championship game tonight. Houston.
Tonight. That was really funny. Did not expect that.
Houston Cougars taking on the Florida Gators. And I think this is going to be a good game tonight.
It should be good. Definitely contrasting styles. I will say this. I am not impressed at all with any of the Florida big men on the front line. I think they're soft. I think they're kind of clunky. And I think Houston's front line is going to just blow those guys off the floor. They're so strong. So strong. Grown men, as you said, Tony.
I don't know if you guys saw the – I don't know. I saw it on Instagram. There's a clip, a video of them preparing for the year.
I've seen it. Houston?
Running. Yes. Yes, these dudes are running like 5-minute miles. And we're talking like all of them are running like under 6-minute miles. Like,
yeah.
I'm watching these dudes run and I'm like, yo, this hurts watching them run this hard for a mile.
I saw a different clip actually that we were referring to the same clip. I saw a different clip. It was of Houston practice. The camera was from way up top looking down at the floor. And somebody would just roll the ball onto the floor, and then like 7 guys would just go diving after it in a scrum to try to come out of there with it. And I'm like, that's Houston basketball right there.
It really is.
I mean, they were scratching, clawing, kicking, biting, you know, whatever they could to get the ball. But that was a drill they were doing at the practice for that team. So
I was amazed to see that the big men, like I think we're talking at times like 5'12". The big men, I'm thinking, okay, these guys are going to be well behind. Nah, they're like 5'50", 5'55".
Yeah.
And, you know, and that led me to another thought that I actually am enjoying about college sports in general. It seems to be happening more in college basketball than the other sports. And I'll be quick because I know we got to get to Daily Gambit.
Yeah.
Seeing these transfers come from, like, smaller schools where maybe they weren't recruited earlier. I mean, my man for Florida was at Iona, if I'm not mistaken, before he got there. And you're seeing a lot, especially in the tournament, these guys are transferring from schools that have been considered smaller. And in one instance, yes, it sucks to see them lose, you know, leave that school that kind of helped them grow. But to get a chance to then show your skill level that you were, you know, could play on the big stage like this, I do think that's kind of cool. That's one element of this that I think is a positive.
Yeah.
That some of those kids that probably would have been forgotten about or we never would have heard of are getting a chance to shine on like the national stage at now.
Yeah. Jani Broom was at Morehead State. So
now
he's pretty good. You know, having said that, the front line of Houston's going to be tough, but that Clayton, he's, like you said, Steph Curry-like. He could win the game for Florida. Like, he won the Texas Tech Elite Eight game, and I think he helped them in the Final Four. But we'll see what happens. That should be a good game tonight. We'll take a little closer look at it now in our Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. A bet that I made over the weekend that failed because of one thing. I had a 6-leg parlay, and it was a bunch of baseball stuff, and it was Saturday, and it was for Jackson Merrill to have one single in the game. That's what I needed. That's why betting is stupid, because the one guy who should accomplish the bet did not accomplish the bet, and I lost the bet. So that's the risk you run when you're doing those parlays out there. But I got five of the six legs correct.
Yeah. And I just want to remind everybody that when Scraby hits a parlay, he tells us about how much money he made. And the last time he told us about how much money he made on a parlay, I believe it was last September. So
that's not true.
They don't come through very often.
Actually, that is true.
Yeah, it is.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time since I've heard from you.
I think I should be celebrated for bringing my losses when I...
You finally brought a loss to our
I always
attention.
Bring my losses. We did a segment every day where I predicted, tried to predict the Padres score every day, and it took me like 100 games.
That's true.
That is the definition of me showing up my or showing my losses. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, that's funny.
South Carolina, they were playing someone on Friday.
Texas.
All of us chose South Carolina. South Carolina won, or they were 5.5-point favorites. They won by enough, 74-57. UConn minus 7.5 against UCLA. UConn just tore their way through the entire tournament.
Yeah, incredible.
They won 85-51, so 7.5 points wasn't even a deal. Paige Bueckers on Friday, over under 25 points. We all went over. She didn't need to go over 25 points. She had 16. Florida-Auburn, Florida minus 2.5. Chris and I chose Florida. Tony chose Auburn. Florida won 79-73. And then in Duke, minus 4.5 over Houston. All of us chose Houston.
Houston
won 70-67. And then, who scored more? And then Florida, okay. Florida and Auburn scored 79 plus 73. Okay, let me start this over. Sorry, guys.
Do you want me to do it for you?
No. It was a total score bet between the Duke-Houston game and the Florida-Auburn game.
Right.
The Florida-Auburn game had a spread of minus 25. So Florida scored 79. Auburn scored 73. You take away 25, you get 127 is what the total of that game was. Duke and Houston, 70 plus 67, much easier math problem, 137.
So, the bottom line, the Duke-Houston game won that
thank
bet.
Thank you. My brain
Jeez Louise.
That was a long way to explain
just,
it.
That.
Just numbers on top of numbers on top of
79
numbers.
Plus 73 minus 25 equals 127. And 70 plus 67 equals 137. Tony and I win that bet.
Thank goodness.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got through that.
Here we go for tonight. The national championship game. Who do you think's favored? Tony, have you looked at the
Florida.
Odds? Only by 1 point, though. So there is some respect being laid on this Houston team. Scraby, why don't you go first? Florida minus one tonight.
Well, I picked Florida to win, so I'm going to go Florida.
I also picked Florida to win it all at the beginning, so I will take Florida. But, you know, like I said, Houston, I think, is going to give them a lot of trouble. Tony?
Yeah, Houston.
You're going Houston here for the title.
Cougars, baby.
Can I interrupt real quick and update our March Madness pool? Because it's down to two players.
We're down to two people to win it, yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And so, Braden Soprenant, after Duke was eliminated, he was eliminated,
He go!
We've been gone, so.
By the way, Braden, they're just
I knew I was gone.
They are toe-tapping on your grave, Braden.
It's just,
so
I don't know
excited.
Why. It's just fun. It's
I've
just
never
fun.
Seen people so happy in my life.
So, it comes down to two people. Yuckus has Houston winning, and Eric O has Florida winning. So that's it.
Right.
Houston wins, Yuckus wins, Florida wins, Eric O wins.
All right. Good luck to both of you guys on the bracket pools out there.
Yes.
Over under for tonight's national title game is 140.5 points. That means 71-70 would get you over. I'm going to go under national title game. I think it'll be in the 60s. I think Houston will make it that way. Tony?
Give it to me again.
140.5 total points.
Over.
You're going to go over. Okay. Scrape?
I'm going to go over, too.
All right. Walter Clayton Jr., 20.5 points. He is the star for Florida. And Tony, you're first. 20.5.
Over.
Scraby?
Star's got to shine for a win. Over.
Yeah, I don't think even Houston can keep him under 20.5. Padres and A's, 8.5 runs tonight in the ballpark
the
in Sacramento. Scraby, over under 8.5 runs.
I mean, are we expecting for a home run derby to break out every time a team goes and plays the A's? Because that's what the Cubs did. They just hit a bunch of home runs and scored a bunch of runs. Is
they
that
did.
What we're expecting, or is that just the Cubs being good?
Well, you make up your own mind. That's how you decide whether you're going to bet on it here.
I'm going to go over.
This is a group betting, buddy.
I'm going to go over. I think the Padres score 9. The A's score 3.
I'm going to just, even though the bandbox did look like it, I think two good pitchers tonight will keep it under. Tony.
I, too, will go under.
Under. Okay. We have Mackenzie Gore, strikeouts versus the Dodgers, or Michael King, strikeouts tonight against the Athletics. I'm going to go Michael King. Even though Gore had a big game earlier, the Dodgers don't strike out very often. I'll go with King. Tony. Who has more strikeouts, Michael tonight or Gore in his game against the Dodgers?
Michael.
Okay. Scrape.
Yeah, I'm going to go Michael King.
All going King there. Giants 1.5 over the Reds tonight. Logan Webb against Hunter Green.
Ooh.
Good pitching matchup there. Tony, you're first. Giants, of course, 8-1 playing at home.
The Reds.
Going with the Reds. Scrape.
Ellie De La Cruz in that torpedo bat. Going with the
Thinking
Reds.
About it. Reds. I don't know. The Reds are really scuffling badly. Until further notice, they can't score, the Reds. I'll take the Giants. We have time for one more here. Cade Cunningham against Sacramento tonight. More points. Or Tyler Hero against Philadelphia. Scraby.
Ooh.
NBA bet. Cade Cunningham versus the Kings. Tyler Hero versus the Sixers. More points.
The Sixers have just completely given up. I'm going to go Cade Cunningham.
They're pretty much playing with a G League team at this point. Cunningham. I'll take Cunningham. He seems to win these most of the time. Tony, anything different for you?
Yeah, no, I'm taking Hero.
You're going Hero.
Okay. He's playing against a team that's tanking right now.
They are. No. Haven't the Sixers been tanking since the Moses Malone era? I mean, remember, trust the process. They lost all those games for about 10 straight years. Anyway.
Well, it doesn't help when Joel Embiid.
I knew he couldn't wait to get this one
off. Doesn't
play
ever.
Soon as we went into this lane.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He was back into his own zone there. But no, look, he's just trying to find a seam and all that. Hey, I'm going to try to force it to him if he's open.
Here is Ovechkin. Shoots. He scores! He scores! Number 895!
F into his own zone there.
Little history there. Yesterday, might have missed it. You know, you might have been into the Padres game or the NCAA basketball, but Alex Ovechkin with hockey history, indeed, the 895th goal of his career to pass Wayne Gretzky yesterday. And, you know, for those who've seen Ovechkin play a lot, it was a bit apropos. He fired the shot from the left faceoff circle, which is probably where he scored at least half of his goals, it seemed like. He would always set up over there on the power play, and when they get the puck over to him, he could just fire that one-time shot. And, you know, hapless goaltenders throughout history have been unable to stop it. And Ovechkin did something that I don't think anybody thought would happen, Tony. I mean, this is very, to me, very Hank Aaron passing Babe Ruth-like in the sense that when Ruth had 714 home runs, you know, the next closest was like 150. So people were like, there's no way anyone's ever going to get to there. And then, of course, Hank Aaron did it, and now that's been passed. But this was pretty spectacular to beat Gretzky. Gretzky, you know, class, as always, was there. He was one of the first out of his seat to celebrate. Was down on the ice afterwards, you know, congratulating Ovechkin. It was hockey does a nice job on these kinds of moments, and they did well yesterday. I don't know if anybody saw it, but
yeah, no, I thought it was cool that Wayne was there to actually shake his hand. He said he would be there. I thought, you know, just kind of going down the history and seeing how the Capitals even got that pick to begin with. They weren't the worst team. They you know, in that lottery, they ended up with that pick. I think in, you know, Pittsburgh Penguins, I think ended up having the worst record that year, and they didn't end up with that number one pick. And all of a sudden, you know, we look years later, here we are talking about a record that I don't think anybody thought would be broken from Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, it was really something. I mean, I said throughout the year that I didn't think I was being fair about this, but I wasn't really rooting for him. I think everybody kind of wanted Gretzky to hold on to it, but this is something that just could not be held on to. You know, nah. Ovechkin kept coming and coming. I mean, he had over 40 goals this year. The guy's 40 years old. Still putting 40 in there.
I also enjoy hearing people, older people, figuring it out in different sports. Like, we often are talking about LeBron James, but to see what Ovechkin has done, being able to change his game. He's not the, like, brute force that he used to be, where he could, you know, not only was he scoring these goals, he was also probably one of the more physical hockey players on the ice at any given moment. Now, at that age, what is he, 40 years of age?
I think he's 40, Tony, or right, very close to it.
Right at 40, playing a sport like hockey,
yeah.
He's not doing the physicality stuff, but he's still finding ways to put himself in position to score. I think that's,
yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
It is good. I mean, he's the guy. He deserves it. There's no question. Here was the ironic thing. Ovechkin did it in his 1,487th game.
Same amount of games.
Same amount of games Gretzky played in his career. That
wow.
is pretty strange, isn't
wow.
it? Not the exact same. And the last thing I will say, because Scraby wants me to now admit that Gretzky is no longer the great one.
Thank you.
He's and still it, the great one.
It will not though. Happen, and here's why it will not happen, Scraby.
No one's breaking that other record he
no.
has.
No, the points lead is held by Wayne Gretzky. In second place is Jaromir Jagr. Gretzky is still 936 points ahead of him.
Why can't you just admit that he's only half the great one now?
He's the good.
No, he's the great one.
He's
well,
the great
I, no, I really don't understand why people can't let this go.
We're not.
Just he's
let
the
go.
Great one.
It's like, okay, let me go scour his stats so that we can
no,
call him the
listen,
great one.
He was never the great one because he had the most goals.
Yeah,
he was the
true.
Great one because he did it all. Like off anything offensive, he you name it, he did it.
All right, in this case, I am being a troll. Earlier, I was not a troll. Right now, I am a troll, and Chris is about to tell me to save that clip.
That's okay.
You're a troll.
I saw the look on his face.
You're a troll. Go ahead and save that clip,
all right,
buddy.
Fine. Here
we'll
is,
take your word for it.
Here's the call. Get this. The longtime Capitals announcer, Joe Beninati,
okay.
he called his first NHL goal, and
wow.
he called this goal yesterday.
That's pretty cool.
Here it is.
Neutralized 13 of the last 14 shorthanded situations against them. Strome crisscrossing with Chychrun through center. Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice. Ovechkin fires. Score! The chasing days are done! Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL.
Wow, that was a good call.
That
I had
was a
little
good
chills
call.
On that
I do
one.
Get some
yeah.
chills on that.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
fired. Yeah.
yeah,
that was good. Good call. Good call. All right, happy, exciting moment there on the ice yesterday afternoon. And I tuned in. I tried to watch it because I was reading the paper a little later in the morning. Saw that the game was being televised, but it had started early. I tuned in. Just as he was picking up the microphone to thank everybody.
Oh, like, well, you missed it.
I guess I just missed it by a couple of minutes. But anyway, that was pretty cool for sure yesterday. Talked about Connecticut earlier, winning the NCAA women's title by 23 points over South Carolina, winning the semifinal game by 34 over UCLA. They beat USC comfortably in the regional finals. This is 12 national championships for UConn. That beats UCLA now on the men's side. UCLA won 11. And, you know, people are starting to bring up John Wooden and what he did. And you got to start putting this Gino Auriemma in there. Now, Gino Auriemma is just not as universally well-liked as John Wooden was back in the day. Maybe it's because of, you know, social media and a lot of these things. But Gino's a little bit more controversial. But, Tony, you got to hand it to a guy that over 31 years has won 93% of his games. Crazy. Over a stretch of three decades, they've had the best program, and, you know, they've won it now 12 times. He's been in 13 finals. He's only lost one, 12-1 in the finals. And what he's done for women's basketball is beyond question, because women's basketball simply was not on the radar when UConn won their first title way back when, but it certainly is now. And so I think the guy has to be celebrated in some way, shape, or form.
He should be. I think Gino, for whatever you, you know, however you feel about him, because listen, I wasn't the biggest Gino REM fan for a long time. Yeah. And it was mainly because he was winning all the time. There's no other reason than that. And I can admit that. I think the contributions he's made to the women's sport, to the women's side of things, is enormous. I mean, he has had a hand in developing some of the best players that have ever touched the floor in the WNBA and continues to do so. I mean, it's always been Gino. He has been joined by Dawn Staley, but Gino's always been, I mean, whether it's Rebecca Lobo, I mean, we can go on and on about the type of women that have come through that program and have gone on to have successful careers at the professional level. He's always been that by up there, you know, along with Pat Summitt when, you know, before she passed away and before she retired. But I think now it's, you know, they're joined by, you know, a few programs that are having a kind of impact. But Gino sits at the top, though, in my opinion. And
I know he's
not as, he may not come off as friendly as some other coaches do. But when you listen to him and you listen to him talk about the girls that he gets to coach, that's a man that I think any father wouldn't mind sending his child to go play for sure.
Yeah, well spoken, Tony. And he is always speaking in favor of the women's game, sometimes to, you know, things that upset some people. But
yeah,
he's trying to get some changes made, and he's gotten a lot of changes made. And the most dominating, you know, sports franchise program in the last 30 years is UConn women's basketball. There's nobody with 12 titles in any sport, so... You know, you got to give the guy his due. Also got to congratulate whoever ABFABF 1968 is. The ESPN Women's Tournament Challenge.
Oh.
This person picked 62 out of the 63 games correct, Tony.
Wow. The only one they missed was San Diego State beating LSU.
They had none. No, it was a first-round game that Indiana beat Utah in an 8-9 matchup.
How could they ever do that?
How did they miss that one? But the guy got, or guy or gal, got every other game correct.
What was
That's
the username
amazing.
Again?
AbFabF, 1968.
AbFabF.
I don't know. Kind of a weird name, but that's a pretty impressive
really
bracket. Pretty impressive bracket.
Jay Billis on the other side. I know we got to get going, but Jay Billis on the other side? Almost perfect.
I know. I can't stand Jay, man. He backs it up every year, says, I'm going to have the best
every
bracket.
Year.
And then
yep.
he does. Yep. And then he does. All right. More Gwen and Chris heading your way.
The computer that's next to Chris Ellwin now, Chris Ellwin.
Had a good here. Shot of the computer, though, didn't I, Tony?
You did. You definitely did.
Focus was centered in the camera there.
Beautiful computer.
You know, I feel for Tony right now. I feel for Tony Gwynn Jr. right now. Because he's sitting in a situation that I found myself in many times this year during the basketball season. That is, he's in front of his computer in his hotel room. But the bus is leaving in a little bit. So I don't know if you're like, I don't know what you do, Tony, I want to ask. I don't get all the way dressed, but I get as dressed as I can and I get as many things put away and ready as I can. So that when I'm done on the radio show, it's like a 45-second turnaround and I'm out the door to get the bus. But I also have to – now, one difference between you and I some of the equipment I used to broadcast the game, I actually used to be on the radio here too. So I have to put all that away. And I get kind of nervous
that problem.
Every time.
Yeah, I don't have that problem. I'll leave this here. Cause
you just
we'll
leave
back
it all set
it.
Up, yeah.
Be back on it again tomorrow, so I don't have to take it out. I am dressed as much as I can be. The I can't completely get ready because I do have to take this computer that I'm on so you guys can look at my face.
There you go. There's a little action involved.
Yeah, so I do have to get that unplugged, make sure I have all my charging cords.
Oh, man.
No, it's you don't understand, Scrape. You don't do this stuff.
First of all, I'm not complaining. I'm just co-signing what Chris is saying.
Yeah, just co-signing. The other thing is
just making sure you get all stuff.
The bus can be at, let's say it's at 4 o'clock today. That means somebody of Tony's stature has to probably be there at least 10 minutes before it leaves, five at the minimum. That you don't want to be the last guy on the bus if you're a broadcaster is what I'm saying. You don't want everybody sitting there at 1 minute to four, and you come one in, okay, I'm here.
It's like, not a good look.
No, you can't do that. So you got to be there at 10 of, right, Tony? I mean, is that accurate pretty
much? Yeah, that's accurate. I'm on there earlier than I try to get on there earlier than the players are.
And are you a front? Or are you – do you
now,
where
today,
do you sit? Where do you
at
sit on the
Well, at 4 o'clock, there isn't going to be any players. All the players are there.
Oh, okay.
At 4 o'clock, it'll just be my broadcast brethren. So I usually sit, you know, somewhere near the front.
Ride, but when all the players are on the bus, where do you have? I'm sure you have a spot. Where do they put
you?
Well,
I personally like to leave the first four rows for the likes of a Toddy, Manny, Bogey, those type of guys. Mm-hmm. And then so you try to find row five and back. You know, you don't want to be too far back because that's also the player's realm. So you're kind of like front, middle.
I have a thing on my bus rides that I'm after the coaches. Coaches are the first five or six rows, then my area, then the players are all in the back on the basketball. But when we get to where we're going, I never get off the bus till all the players have gotten off the bus. Just one of those things that I don't feel like I should get off first.
That's the great rule. I abide by that.
You abide
rule
by that
as well.
Okay,
but. You do have players that will refuse. No, you go. And
oh,
so
really?
I'm not going to, I don't want to get into a spat of whether I get off the bus or you get off the bus.
Imagine a 10-minute discussion on who should get off the bus first.
Right.
Yeah, that's no good.
It's a very Larry David thing to do right there, it feels like.
But I always wait till all the players are off. All right, Scraby's looking at me like I'm crazy. He doesn't get it.
I'm actually talking to Dave Marcus, making sure our connection is set up for the game tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I know Dave is in a nervous tilly right now.
What time did he get to the ballpark?
It's new surroundings, new things.
Yeah.
He doesn't like new things. He likes things to be predictable. So, Scraby, you might be on the phone a little bit. You sure you want to participate in this segment?
I'm just realizing something.
Uh-oh.
The lineup is out, guys.
Well, play the music.
There's a missing member of the lineup.
Play it.
Missing member. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not saying they're hurt or anything.
What's the missing member?
Acting like this is not a big deal.
Scraby, you now have to announce the lineup.
Yeah, go ahead. You go ahead.
Batting first. I'm not going to do that. I can't. Fernando, Luis Arraez, Manny Machado, Jake Cronenworth, Gavin Sheets, Bogarts, Hayward, Lockridge, Diaz.
And for those who didn't catch it, who's missing?
Mr. Merrill, my fantasy player that I'm going to be putting on the bench right now.
Jackson Merrill not in the starting lineup tonight. I wonder if there's going to be any explanation for that, or is it just a scheduled night off? Although I would find that to be rather interesting at this point in the season. So,
let me ask this real question. Do they go into the year thinking, all right, we're going to pick days for these guys to get off? Like, maybe he knew he was going to play the first 10 games and they were going to give him the first series off first game off in I almost call it Oakland, but Sacramento. Like, is this, I'm not saying he's hurt. I'm not freaking out before you guys accuse me of freaking out. It's a scheduled day off. I'm just wondering how that works.
I don't think they would schedule one this early in the season if they did. Tony?
Yes.
Agreed or?
No, I don't agree.
You think they would schedule one?
I don't think there's any rules on when you can get it. Like, you have to go to first 15 or you got to go to first 20.
Okay.
You got to go to first 25. I don't know that there's any of that. They definitely will say, hey, look at the schedule. We might consider giving you this one off or whatever the case may be. I saw there was no indication that something's wrong with Jackson.
Okay.
Something could have happened, I guess, this morning. when he woke up, but by all accounts, he seemed to be good yesterday. Great mood. So I would guess this is just giving him a day today.
I'm sitting in close proximity to a man that would be worried about this more than most.
I'm not worried.
You sure?
I'm looking. He played 156 games last year.
You sure you're not worried?
I think you're a little worried, bro.
I'm not worried. I promise you. It's a little surprising. I will say it's surprising.
What? Can I ask you a question? What is surprising about it?
Because I look at these guys like robots, and they're supposed to be there every day. That's just how it goes.
But they all get days off. Atati gets days off. Manny gets days off.
I know. I'm not. Hey, guys, I just brought you the lineup. I didn't say that I believed anything.
Yeah, but you said there's someone missing.
Yeah, basically because he's my favorite player on the team, and I love watching him play. So
listen, at about hold on, I'll tell you. Give me a second.
Oh, well, Tony's getting that second. I will say that
at about 5:05 today, we'll know if it's anything crazy.
Mike Schilt will have his pregame.
Let me predict.
I bet he'll be asked about it.
I'm sure he will be asked about it, but my prediction is Jackson just needed a day off or giving him a day off.
I'm going to go out and predict that he just felt a little something.
Don't say anything.
I just
knock on wood.
I'm just saying, I think he felt a little something. I don't. It seems weird to me that they would suggest schedule a day off for the 11th game of the season. To me, I kind of agree with Chris.
I know that we have a Major League Baseball player on the show who doesn't agree.
Former.
Former.
Yes.
A guy who has been in the lineup, in and out of it. But
yes, no, he gets it better than we do, but I'm just making my prediction that he's had a tweak somewhere. Hmm. I don't know. We'll see.
I just saw this on Twitter. Did we refer to the Athletics as Oakland earlier? I didn't even catch myself doing it.
I did, but I said Sacramento.
I need to make sure that I don't want to get nobody in trouble. Certainly don't want to get
No, Tony's very cautious.
I certainly don't want my hand slapped.
Tony's very cautious about this stuff.
I appreciate my man Chris says Crane Fiesta of four.
Oh yeah.
he hit me and said we were referring to the Athletics as Oakland just now on the radio, and he appreciated it. I'm happy we were able to provide that for my man Chris, but I know I have to like work not to say that since I'm going to be on the air today. So
what do you think, Tony, about the sixth inning? You'll slip up tonight, first time.
I hope it's not in any inning I say it today. I'm going to have a hard enough time just making sure I say Athletics and not like including Sacramento in there.
I know.
It's
also, look, I still want to call them the Indians. I still want to call them the Redskins. So I'm still trying to overcome all of that, and it's been a few years now. So my mind goes there every time.
Name and logo. That was Chris finding out the Washington football team was going to become the Commanders, literally the moment he found out.
All right,
Tony, I think you need to get going.
I need to get rolling, y'all. Yes.
Get the bus.
All right.
Say hi to everybody.
Tony. Thank you.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a pleasure, gentlemen.
And we'll
be back, though. I'll be back a little later. We can talk during the Big Five.
We have a sports court, and it's a good one.
Yeah. All right. Go find out what's about. If you find out something on the bus, Tony, sneakily send us a text.
Yeah,
you know,
because now we got someone on the chat saying, I was watching him yesterday, pulled up into a base, and he kind of moved his leg a little weird. So now we got everybody worried.
Okay.
And I'm worried, too.
Hey, listen. Maybe I missed it. Yeah. Maybe I missed it. We'll see.
All right. See you, Tony.
Thanks, Tony. All right. Jackson Merrill not in the lineup tonight. That is the final straw or the final note on that. We will get the lowdown.
Yes.
As Tony said, at the very latest, we'll get it at 5:05 for Mike Schilt. That means between now and then, which is a span of 100 minutes, Gravy, 3:45 to 5:05, that's 100 minutes, there will be at least 100 theories out there as to why he's not in the lineup tonight, and about 99 of them will probably turn out to be wrong. So
I'm thinking
everyone's going to take a guess. Everyone's going to get concerned. Everyone's going to make up something. We'll see what the actual story is.
Yeah, I'm not going to speculate anymore.
In the lineup tonight is Jason Hayward. And, well, let's check traffic first. I want to ask you about that in a second, but let's check some traffic first. Fill in.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that's all you're, that's, you're keeping a roster spot for that. And he just hasn't done anything yet. I think it's way too early.
Well, neither of them have.
I think it's way too early for both of them, but I think Jason Hayward.
Are we going to the end of April? Where are we going?
I think Jason Hayward's going to the end of May. I think Yuli Gurriel's going to April 20th.
Okay. So Yuli Gurriel's running out of time right now.
13 days. Because you do have all those guys just hitting the cover off of the ball in AAA. Oscar Gonzalez, I was just looking up on Twitter some of his highlights. He is looking great. There are young guys that are bearing down on this spot.
Yeah.
And if you're Yuli Gurriel, you either got to do something about it or just accept the fate that's about to happen.
I believe that both guys have to feel a little pressure looking over their shoulder right now. There's just absolutely no two ways about it. You're only human if you're doing that. At the same time, the Padres and Mike Schilt and Victor Rodriguez and everybody else and A.J. Preller, they have to make sure that these guys hopefully don't feel that pressure so that they have a chance while they're still here to go out and perform and get something done.
You got to tell them, like, hey, you aren't in danger of losing your job tomorrow.
But
you
I
have
think they know.
Time.
I think they know.
That's also a good thing. That's fine. A little self-motivation is fine.
I mean, honestly, I could see Connor Joe coming up tomorrow and being your right-handed first base DH like Gurriel is.
Could be.
I could see Oscar Gonzalez coming up tomorrow and being a slugging threat in left field as opposed to Jason Hayward.
Yeah.
I don't think either of those things will happen. And I'm going to take it one step further. Elias Diaz is not swinging it all that well either.
Catching position is a wasteland right now.
He's 5-for-20, so he's hitting .250. He left the bases loaded yesterday, left second and third yesterday. Camposano is still in the organization. I don't think Maldonado's going anywhere. I think he's perfect for what they want right now. He's got a homer. He's hitting over 200. He's catching. Leave him alone. But I think Diaz doesn't look good to me either. And I know that Camposano is there. So it's interesting. You're 8-2. Everything's, you know, flowing along. But it's not. There's a couple of things that I think you have to keep an eye on right now. And, you know, if you're a Jason Hayward fan, I think it would be good to, you know, he's got to do something here this week. And I think Yuli Gurriel's got to, you know, they don't have to go 3-for-4, but hit me a couple of line drives to the alley. I mean, something.
Yeah,
to make me feel like you're swinging a little better. A 1-for-13 is not a big deal. We saw Arise go 0-for-16. But that's Luis Arise, and now since then he's 10-for-23. So, you know, he does what he does.
The problem is, like, for the catcher position, when you look at Luis Camposano, because he's been hitting pretty well lately, too, in AAA, but that's what he does. Here's his AAA stats, or at least his minor league stats. He's hitting .280 this year. He hit .300 last year, .280 the year before, .298. But then when you look at his big league numbers, they're not even close to that.
Right.
There he hit .227 last year, .250 in 2022. He didn't play enough games really, but he had a .319 average in 23. So it's like, are we ever going to get the guy who's going to take that next step? Because they really, really want it to be him.
I think if Elias Diaz doesn't start hitting some more line drives, I think Camposano is a possibility, and I think these other two guys certainly have to be. Unfortunately. On a little bit of wait-and-see attitude right now. I'm not here to cut Jason Hayward or Yuli Gurriel. I'm here to try and think along with the organization right now, and they've got to see what I'm seeing. They just do.
I would think that they are.
If Hayward hit, you know, three line drives yesterday and a fly out to the warning track, I wouldn't even bring it up. But he's swinging like he's fooled on almost every pitch. And Gurriel's not making any solid contact right now.
He's not. No. It just helps that the one hit he had was the game winner.
Didn't hurt.
Diaz is being paid $3.5 million this year.
Jason Hayward fans could point to the fact that he has more RBIs right now than Manny Machado does, which is kind of strange.
Don't start.
Don't start with that one. All right, Chris versus the fans is coming up next, 833-288-0973. Las Vegas could be in your future if you can win a trivia game. It's coming up, Colin.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.